the Word of God in the Bible, learning about how the Word of God, the eternal Word of God that is always current, the Bible, which is always ready to give us an answer for any and everything that we might go through as an individual, as a family, as a community, as a world, your Bible has the answers. And Father, we pray tonight that as we embark upon this particular look at our worldview and how we apply it as Christians, that Father, we would be people who leave this place at a time like this, truly active, thinking, vibrant, reasonable, engaging believers. The lost of the world deserve nothing less than Christians coming to them to love on them and to help them. This age deserves nothing less than for us to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That tonight more than ever we would be a church galvanized to the days and to the age in which we live. And Lord, if need be, strip away all of the extenuating circumstances that detract from our lives the very things of God. Don't let us become burdened and weighed down with the issues of life. May we be hotly focused upon you like never before. Jesus, may our hearts be absolutely in love with you, and then on the street and in the home and at the job place and on the work site to be living true Christian lives. Father God, please, we pray, give us ears to hear and eyes to behold and feet and hands to do the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yesterday, our U.S. diplomatic post in Benghazi, Libya, was attacked. Heavily armed militants assaulted the compound and set fire to our buildings. American and Libyan security personnel battled the attackers together. Four Americans were killed. They included Sean Smith, a Foreign Service Information Management Officer, and our ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens. Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior along with the protest that took place at our embassy in Cairo yesterday as a response to inflammatory material posted on the internet. America's commitment to religious tolerance goes back to the very beginning of our nation. But let me be clear. There is no justification for this. None. Violence like this is no way to honor religion or faith. And as long as there are those who would take innocent life in the name of God, the world will never know a true and lasting peace. It is especially difficult that this happened on September 11th. It's an anniversary that means a great deal to all Americans. Every year on that day, we are reminded that our work is not yet finished, that the job of putting an end to violent extremism and building a safe and stable world continues.
What is she talking about? Did you listen carefully to what she had to say? That's Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State. Did you hear what she had to say? It is vital. That's why that particular statement is what caused me tonight more than anything than the events that have happened in the last 24 hours, the tragic events that have happened in the last 24 hours. It is her statement. I'm wondering if you caught it because it's really all about what this series is all about. Did you hear what she had to say? Nobody practicing religion, nobody who worships God would murder, would kill. Now, I want you to hear that for a second. I want you to be thinking, don't be the normal average churchgoer or American when you hear words like that. I'm not, by the way, bringing into question Hillary Clinton's belief in God or not. I'm not dealing with that. That's not the issue tonight. She said, if you believe in God, and if you have religion, then how can you go and kill people and murder people? What is she talking about? The United States on September 11th, which was yesterday, we were attacked again. And I'm wondering how many of you know about it. People have lost their lives in the last 24 hours. And in fact, as she said, Chris Stevens, the ambassador, and we haven't had an ambassador killed since 1978, ladies and gentlemen. And that was by Iranian militants then, and now it's by Muslim Brotherhood militants today. They were brutally beaten. He was beaten. He was drugged behind a pickup truck through the streets of Bengali and killed. Why? That's the question, why? Because immediately the news broke out upon the scene that the reason why, some of you are probably still hearing it or you're going to hear it. Put on your filters for your ears. What would cause a militant group both now in Benghazi, Libya, and in Cairo, Egypt, for as we stand here now live before you, there is a massive gathering by thousands and thousands of militants that is surrounding the U.S. Embassy at this second in Cairo, saying death to America, death to Israel. Right now, 50 specially trained Marine special ops soldiers or Marines made their way into Benghazi under the cover of dark and have extracted the bodies of those killed. And certain U.S. State Department officials who were there hiding, and they've been taken out and rescued. Other Marines have been deployed right now under the cover of darkness. It's no secret. They're somewhere in Egypt, and they're making their way to Cairo right now. Something's going on. In the last few hours, the United States has redirected two U.S. destroyers, Aegis class. An Aegis class destroyer. Two of those things could pretty much put most countries out of business, just two of them. They're bad boats. Things are really heating up. It's not going away. But you're hearing in the news that the reason why all this is happening is because some nut somewhere put together a little anti-Muslim video and put it up on YouTube, by the way, over a month and a half ago. And now on September 11th, it's the reason why these militants have killed U.S. State Department officials. They're saying it's that reason for the video that we have attacked Egypt, the United States Embassy in Egypt, which is sovereign territory, and in Benghazi, sovereign territory, United States. And that's why we killed these people, because we didn't like what that guy. Nobody knew who the guy was. People began to look. What are they talking about? And immediately the press began to go with the story about we need to watch out for people like this guy, whoever this guy is. And look, we live in America where you have a freedom of speech. And with that comes responsibility. If you're highly educated people, you can handle freedom of speech because there's a sense of responsibility with it. And so you don't go into a theater and yell fire. Do you have the constitutional right to do that? Yes. But is it a smart thing to do? No. Thus, wisdom relegates and wisdom operates liberties and freedoms. So we have the freedom of speech in America. It's one of our sacred constitutional rights. But what's interesting tonight, what you heard Hillary Clinton say, and I wonder if you got it, in light of our worldview series, this is right out of the world and brought right into our church lap tonight as Christians. We need this. Imagine tonight, we are in a college classroom tonight. We are in a lab right now. I agree with Secretary Clinton. If you believe in God and you have a religion that's worth anything, you don't go around murdering people. But she's a victim of being localized on a Judeo-Christian worldview, i.e. a biblical worldview. What we've been learning all of these months together, we're seeing right now a real life issue being lived out in front of us, and it employs immediately for you to practice what you've been learning, a biblical worldview. She's doing it. You need to be doing it. Because, listen, the world is doing it right now. We are looking at Islamic militants who have attacked these two embassies because in a video that some nut made, Muhammad was made fun of. You may or may not disagree with what I just said, but will you agree with me that it is a spiritual issue? You may not agree with Islamic doctrine, nor do I, but to them, this is a spiritual issue. I got news for you. For me, it's a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue. And we've got the world right now talking about what is your worldview? Isn't it amazing? Look how you've been prepared for this very moment tonight. If you have God and if you have a religion, then how do you reconcile this behavior? According to Hillary Clinton, you cannot reconcile the two because it assumes for a moment in her argument that if you believe in God, then you must naturally be a peaceful person. That is a very sweet and wouldn't it be nice if it were true view. It all comes down to what kind of God do you believe in? It's the God. It's the God that you're following. Let's not lose the moment right now for our own personal application. What God are you following? What God governs your worldview? Tonight, predominantly, perhaps most of us are Christians or maybe Jewish people tonight. And we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe in the Bible. And it is that teaching of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, for example, that shapes our morality. And it's wrong for us to murder people. It's wrong for us to lie, and these things have come from a Judeo-Christian worldview. And tonight, Hillary Clinton from the State Department made a statement that I completely agree with. If you believe in God, you ought not to go around blowing stuff up and murdering people. But that's what's happening right now. And I want you to keep a few things in mind. We're going to look at some things tonight, nothing extensive, nothing deep tonight, but I believe that there's a cry that needs to go out tonight to God's people, and that is we need to be ready. And you say, ready, ready for what? Number one, always ready to meet Jesus. Okay? You need to be ready to meet Christ. Are you trusting Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Do you understand He died on the cross for your sins? Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. He saved you. You cannot save yourself. By His blood, we have the atonement. That is, God the Father saw the blood of Jesus Christ and forgave our sins. And if you trust Him for what He's done, the Bible says that God will wash away your sin. And you'll have access into the very presence of God for all time and eternity. That very same Bible that says those very same things also says this. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now be careful. Listen, I'm going to keep reading. But you need to stop right now and think, He's going to come like a thief in the night. In your mind, you need to ask yourself this question. Who is He going to come like a thief in the night to? There's a difference here. Listen carefully. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, not you, they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. He's talking about the rapture, that imminent moment when Christ returns. You are all the children of light and of the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep at night. For they that get drunk, get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, an awesome promise that can never be denied. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 5 is awesome because the word wrath is not the wrath of God. It's an amazing word. It's not the wrath of God. He's not saying that if you watch for Jesus and you're ready for Jesus, you're going to miss the wrath of God in hell. That's already been settled for the believer. The wrath mentioned here is the wrath of what is coming, what's called the Great Tribulation Period. You see, Jack, what does that have to do with what's happening right now in the world? I want you to know the opening verses that I read in 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us that if we are walking in the light, we will not be deceived by the times and the age in which we're living in. That when we look upon the world scene and you begin to put puzzles together, which are not hard to put together. These are not puzzles you get at some Hallmark store or some of those game shops. These are puzzles that you buy at Toys R Us. These are the big blocks, blue, yellow, red, that say A, B, C. And they're easy to put together if you're paying attention. Tonight, with what's going on in the world, what has transpired on September 11th, yesterday, is escalating. Why? Always ask the question, why? What's happening? Isn't it interesting that some in the world immediately heard that it was all about this silly little YouTube video upload? But now as time has gone on, and now as some are speaking out, it's not that at all. Turns out it's not that at all. In recent events, it is believe with what's happening right now, as with recent events, this statement was none other than a smokescreen, and the data, the evidence is stacking up. I'm going to ask you guys to put on the screen the Ynet article, if you would. If you throw that up there, pretty interesting stuff. We don't have many of these. You can look at them later. But Egyptian intelligence warns, we can say now past tense, they've been warning of terror plot against U.S., Israeli embassies, two global jihad operatives reportedly planning to strike embassies in Cairo as well as targets in Sinai. You see that's printed up right there. You see the date stamp in the top left-hand corner. Here's the problem. Had nothing to do with a YouTube uploaded video that ticked off the militants. They are now finding out, they are now speaking out that this was a well-organized attack that had been planned for quite a while. And it was planned on a certain day. I'll give you one guess to pick a date in which they were going to do it. What's the date? September 11th. Did you know that none of our embassies worldwide were put on alert on September 11th? Did you know that this afternoon, then the embassies went on alert today? I personally, as a taxpayer, would like to know why. Think of that for a second. We had been warning. The Israeli Mossad had been telling the United States intelligence that they agreed with the Egyptian data that there was going to be attack on either U.S. and Israeli embassies or U.S. embassies. And for 7 days, those alerts went to the United States. Nothing was mentioned. Nothing was said. Why? You see, what does this have to do with the Bible? We are looking at the deconstruction of the Middle East right now. God is in control. There's no doubt about that. What's tragic for us to be watching as Americans, as Christians, is that America, because it's lost our Judeo-Christian worldview, we have had a change in a worldview perspective that Israel is no longer an ally. You say, what does that have to do with the Bible? Everything. Give me a moment. We have changed our perspective as a nation. Something happened in America that has caused us to get away from the fear of God. Something in America has happened that has caused us to get away from the fear of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. Something has gone wrong. Now, when I say something has gone wrong, I have to qualify that because I'm a Christian. Nothing's gone wrong. It's all going right according to our Bible and our God. What breaks our hearts is what breaks the heart, or what broke the heart of Daniel, of what broke the heart of Jeremiah, of what broke the heart of Isaiah, you name it. When your nation is taken captive, when things change, with how you were brought up and how you were raised will be altogether different for the rest of your life and for your children and grandchildren. And very few people care about that today. I'm a Christian first before I'm anything else. I'm a Christian. God, in his infinite wisdom and for whatever purposes, God has placed me in this country by his decree. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 17, we read it every week, that it was by God's wisdom that he established the pre-appointed boundaries and borders of the nations of the earth. God has done this. Are you a Canadian tonight? God placed you in Canada. Are you English tonight? God placed you in England for a purpose. What's the purpose? I have no idea. But for those of us sitting here right now, we are Americans. And God is doing something. U.S. Ambassador to Libya, as I mentioned earlier, Chris Stevens, was murdered today, and some of his staff. We now know that the attack was not some random thing, but it was a well-orchestrated thing. Al-Zawahiri announced on September 10th that the Americans must be expelled from our soil and that justice must come upon them for the killing of Al-Libya, which took place last June. A senior Al-Qaeda terrorist mastermind by a drone attack was killed last June, a couple months ago. And Al-Zawahiri, the physician and sidekick to Osama bin Laden, issued an attack on U.S. installations in the Middle East. Hillary Clinton later this afternoon, in fact, I have it right here in front of me, Hillary Clinton, U.S. State Department, issued this statement today. I'm wondering if you heard it. I say that sarcastically with love because you probably didn't. Not because of you, but the media is not carrying it much publicly because it doesn't want to set off alarms. But for the State Department to say what I'm about to read to you publicly is a big deal. She said, and I quote, "We can expect a possible escalation in violence throughout the region," close quote. That's a serious statement coming from a Secretary of the State Department, Hillary Clinton. But Al-Zawahiri said, "Americans are open game." He said it on September 10th. That was Monday, yes? Yesterday was September 11th. He was obeyed, and the violence has broken out. And remember, as I sit here tonight, our embassy is surrounded right now. And a handful of Marines are making their way there. You say, what good is a handful of Marines going to do against 5,000 militants? Turn on the news, watch and see. This was published today, September 11th, or yesterday, September 11th at 8:19 a.m. Cairo time, I guess. It doesn't say. Cairo. United Press International. A radical group planned the terrorist attacks against both Israeli and U.S. embassies in Cairo, the Egyptian intelligence service warned. A top secret letter was obtained by the news organization Al-Masri Al-Aoun, states that elements from the group Global Jihad had been planning attacks on two embassies for this fall. The letter was addressed to a top Egyptian security official and was forwarded to all security sectors across Egypt. There was no specific word on when the attacks would take place. Global Jihad has been accused by Israeli intelligence for perpetrating the August 5th attacks against Egyptian border guards in Sinai that left 16 dead. What's happened? I'm just putting this out there. I'm not soliciting a response. This is just a provocation type of question. If the Egyptians had been warning us, if the Israeli intelligence has been warning us, and if now we are hearing that MI5 and MI6 have been warning us, that this was coming, why were we not put on alert? And why would our media so quickly, immediately when this happens, throw out the story that the reason for all of this is because some loony uploaded a YouTube video? This is amazing. We're being lied to. Did a war again, or should I say, did another phase of the war start yesterday? I'm just asking. Did it ever stop? According to Thomas Jefferson, it never ended. According to the work of Thomas Eaton, it never ended. According to the words of John Adams, it never ended. That the pirates of the Barbary Coast, by their very doctrine, has launched an attack against anything and everything that is not Sharia or Islamic compliant. One thing I want you to think about tonight is to understand this and do not lose sight of this. God is in control. You can't lose sight. You can't turn on the TV, or you can't get information and lose sight of the fact that God is in control. Please, if you lose sight of God being in control, you're going to have to take a Tums or a Melanta pill or something. You might get nervous. Jesus said that in the last days, nations and the world itself will be in such turmoil, it will be like the raging and foaming up of the sea. That nations, he used the word, the English word is perplexity. He said nations will be engaged with one another at the point of perplexity. The word in Greek actually means having no way of escape in the last days. Jesus said that. Understand that God is in control. It's amazing to me that here we are, church. Listen, why did I cite this verse in Thessalonians? That you will have no need that somebody should tell you when. You'll know, you'll discern the times and the seasons. Because you don't live in the darkness. Did you all hear that? Nobody knows the day or the hour. Right on. Amen. That's right. And if some knucklehead says he knows the day and the hour, just, I don't know. Run. Yeah, run at least. I was going to say, well, I'm not going to tell you what I would say. But get out of there. Isn't it interesting that then Paul the Apostle comes along and says, but concerning the times and the seasons, what does times and the seasons mean? Well, that's where you need to break out into a word study later on. Well, what's times and seasons? Seasons actually means seasons. Small epochs of time. We have four of them. Seasons. The word time predominantly in the Bible means most often a year or years. Not much time. The implication is not much time. You don't know the day or the hour, but you're going to, as you walk with Jesus and you've got your ear to your Bible and the other ear to what's happening in the world events, you are going to come to the conclusion that there's a season changing. Things ain't the same. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Something's going on. And it's amazing that I stood here with you last week and we had to talk about how God was thrown out of a particular political party and how Jerusalem was removed from being the capital of Israel in a particular party. And now we are here 1 week later, right back at it again on another God issue. And the God issue is Islam is continuing to attack the world. You're not supposed to say stuff like that. Who says you're not supposed to say stuff like that? It could cost you your life. I already have life. I have eternal life. What do you mean could cost you my life? We have eternal life. Well, you know, it's just not politically correct. That's the problem. I don't know, man. If you bump into a bad doctor who cuts the wrong leg off after surgery and you wake up, I think you might go on, what is the thing? Is it called Angie's List or something? What are those things? And you say, he's not a good doctor. You wouldn't be shy about that. Why is it that wherever this doctrine goes, there's death, beheading, mayhem, violence? It has to be that way. It It's its teachings. Understand that God is in control, even when in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, is this, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him." God says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the nations around about. Then they shall be in, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all nations. All that burden themselves with Jerusalem shall be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered against it." The Bible, written nearly 3,000 years ago. Is Jerusalem front and center in the news? So much front and center in the news that you heard this week since you and I met last, that Benjamin Netanyahu has requested a meeting with Barack Obama regarding the issues of war in the Middle East with Iran, and Barack Obama denied the meeting for the Prime Minister of Israel. It's been denied. Pick up an Israeli newspaper. You can Google it later. It's firestorm around the world. America has rejected the meeting with Israeli Prime Minister. You should hear some of the politicians right here in this country right now talking about this issue. Jerusalem Post. And you say, "Well, I don't read the Jerusalem Post." Well, don't worry about it. It's the same headline all around the world right now. U.S. says there's no time for Obama-Netanyahu meeting. White House cites time constraints due to campaign. Prime Minister slams U.S. refusal to set benchmarks for Iran. Says those who don't set red lines cannot show Israel red light. Yeah, there are White House constraints due to the campaign. It turns out that Prime Minister Netanyahu wants to talk to Obama about averting war with Iran, but Obama wants to talk about golfing with David Letterman that day. And that's what won. We're on the brink of a possible world war. Russia has got its ships in the neighborhood. China has got its ships now in the neighborhood. The United States has an overwhelming amount of force in the neighborhood. The world oil supply is at stake if a war breaks out. Israel is saying, "Leave us alone." And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. You know what I'm going to say. Is saying with the Ayatollah, "Israel, soon, this fall, will be no more." Well, I got news for you. I know you and I live here in this part of Southern California, and it's still summer. It's always summer here. But it's fall in the rest of the world. We're in fall. Could it be the September 11th attacks of yesterday is a front just testing to see what our resolve and response might be? What if we don't do anything as a nation? I'm speaking politically now as a nation, not as a pastor. I'm just giving you scenarios, and I want you to judge them in light of the Bible. What if we choose right now to do nothing? And in a few weeks, you have done nothing but embolden the bad guys to do more. Now, girls don't get this. Girls don't understand what I'm talking about. But if somebody walks up in at school and punches you in the nose, you're going to ask, "Why'd you do that?" Or, "Man, don't do that again." Or, "That hurt. I don't want that to happen again." Now, girls say, "Well, I'll just send him a letter." There are people who respond. That's diplomacy. Sometimes you talk to people and they go, "That makes sense. Okay, that's fine." But when that's exhausted, there is a certain way of having, or I should say, there's a certain worldview that only responds to might. And you don't like that. But there's a certain worldview that only understands power. George Washington, Ronald Reagan echoed it, that as America, we need to be always having peace through strength. Do you know what that means? If you have a big enough bat, no one misses with you. And everybody's peaceful and happy. You say, well, if you park an aircraft carrier off somebody's coast, what happens? Nothing. Nothing. It's called diplomacy. You need to know who the people are in the world. We're Americans. We just like to dig a hole and put our head in the ground and put on our iPad or our iPod and listen to music. But what if somebody doesn't have an iPod and they want your iPod? And they just don't like you because they have a different worldview. What are you going to do about that? It's amazing. Think about it. There's a news analysis September 1st. So some days ago, September 1st, news analysis out of the Middle East from the Middle East Media Report Institute, Research Institute. Quote, in a strong statement by U.S. General Martin Dempsey, the U.S. would not be complicit in an Israeli strike against Iran. Together with the drastic reduction in the scale of next month's joint U.S.-Israeli war game disclosed by Time magazine, thanks Time magazine, add up to a blunt message from U.S. President Barack Obama to Israel. You are on your own. See how you manage without special U.S. weapons and U.S. military backup, including a shield against missile counterattack. If you decide to defy us and go through with a military operation against Iran, instead of the 5,000 U.S. troops originally assigned to austere Challenge 12, which is a military agreement, the annual joint exercise, the Pentagon will send only 1,200 to 1,500 service members. The missile interception system at the core of the joint exercise will now only be one Aegis ballistic missile defense warship, according to the magazine. The Middle East Media Research Institute said, sources say, the Obama administration has put Israel on harsh notice that any attack on Iran to disrupt or delay its nuclear armament will be refused U.S. missile backup, both in the course of the operation and to cover Israel's back in the event of a counterstrike widening into a general Middle East conflict. The Netanyahu government will bear full exclusive responsibility for the consequences of an Iranian attack, close quote. That's tough stuff, man. You know, one thing that he's forgetting, Israel doesn't need the United States. Israel has got God. Understand this. Events that you and I are watching, events globally, I know it's comfortable for us to keep our nose at home and in our own little business and draw the curtains and just live our own little bubble. But you got to understand something. Events in the world, God expects us to know them. The amazing multimedia platforms that we have, the ability for anybody to gather data, even to find out where a movie is playing around town, is available at our fingertips. And God expects us now to know what's happening in the world. We are to be like watchmen on the wall as believers, looking out and ahead and beyond. We are to be watching for our Lord's return, and at the same time, in fact, I love this picture. Gideon, you all know the story. Gideon had all of his guys, and God kept saying, you know, it's too many guys, blah, blah, blah. You know the story. It comes down to 300 guys. Well, how did he get the 300 guys? He got the 300 guys before he got down to the 300 commandos. Do you remember what God said? Take them down to the creek there, Gideon Springs. Some of us have been there. It's been there for thousands of years. Comes right out of the ground. Beautiful, cold, clear water. And God says, watch how they drink water. That's how you'll know. He said, what are you talking about? And the guys who got down to the water and they drank like a dog drinks. Have you ever seen a dog drink water? It's not that they licked the water. That's not what he's saying. They didn't go. They brought the water to their mouth. A dog does that with its tongue. Go home tonight. Watch your dog drink water. They cup, they scoop. The tongue goes into the water. I know this. I've watched this happen. The tongue goes straight in, and then the tongue, in a millisecond of time, curls like a spoon. And the water is pulled up like this. Can you see this? Do you want me to do it for this? Goes in like this and pulled like that. Okay? God says, the guys who do that, take those guys. You say, why? Well, how could that be the military criteria? Because dogs, when they drink water, they always look straight ahead. That's their most vulnerable position. So they look they're gathering water and they look straight ahead. The other guys must have walked out there. Got their faith. God goes, I don't want those guys. What's the point? They're vigilant. They're diligent. They're on guard. They're ready. They even brought water up because anything could happen at any time. God says, be like that. We are to know what's going on in the world. Why? Because the Bible talks about the world. Our worldview is taking the Bible and as you've been hearing every week for months, looking at every issue of life. Nothing is outside. Nothing is secular to the believer. Nothing's humanistic to us. Let secularists be secular. What is that to us? We don't even believe in that. So they can go do whatever they want to do. Let a humanist be humanistic. What do we care? We don't believe in that. Everything that goes on in the world is filtered through the very Word of God. We have a biblical worldview. That's why it's important. You say, I don't want to talk about this stuff. Well, what else do you want to talk about? This is in the Bible. Jesus said in the last days, the world's going to be coming apart. All this stuff, violence is going to increase. Matthew chapter 24. Because love will grow cold, Jesus said, violence will increase. Is that not happening? Understand that these global events are signals, are signs. Jesus said, you will see signs among the nations, signs among cultures. The third thing is that we need to understand that Israel is the target. But we heard something interesting this week. Israel is the target, yes, but we heard something interesting this week. That the doctrine now of jihad understands that, and this is critical, is this happening right now? Has it been happening since September 11th, 2001? Or has it been happening since the summer of 1803? That America must be in some way dissolved or disabled. Because every time we go after Israel, America somehow gets in the way. So how do we go after Israel? How do we kill the little Satan, they call it? Well, we have to take out the big Satan first. Who's the big Satan in Islamic teaching? The United States. So we'll take out the big Satan and then go after the little one. They have nothing to do. They'll have no way. If we are on the brink of the Ezekiel battle that we studied a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, something's going to happen to the United States that's going to render America either too busy, somehow incapacitated, somehow wounded, somehow broke, somehow unable, or somehow with godless leadership, we don't respond. Ezekiel says no nation comes to Israel's aid when she is under this looming, obvious, crushing attack of an invading Islamic coalition which mentions the nations by name, and one of them tonight is in the news, Libya, by name. Is something going to happen? I don't know. Right now, there are key intelligence agencies around the world trying to figure out what could happen next. And they're working or running scenarios. They're looking at possible what ifs. Imagine that. I've heard some of those ifs today and what ifs today. I had a great phone call today with someone in the Middle East. And of course, scenarios are always being run. But God always has a surprise. Israel's alone. And it's becoming more alone every day. What's amazing to me is I had to go to 1 Thessalonians 5 tonight because so much has changed in just 7 days since you and I saw each other here on Wednesday night. Could this be... Now watch this. I'll play this out. I'll try to cover both sides of the camp here. Could this be a major wake-up call to the believer? Could it be a warning? Look up, Jesus said. When you see these things begin to happen because your redemption draws near. Look up, look up. Could it be that? Could it be? Say, well, what if it's not? If it's not, it's okay because I'm still in a state of readiness, which I'm supposed to be all the time anyway as a Christian. Now, the non-Christian in here tonight or the non-Christian watching us right now saying, what do you want to be ready for? I want to sleep around and I want to do this and I want to live my own life and have my own fun. And then, you know, when things get really scary, then I'll commit to Jesus Christ. That will be an impossibility. God, you don't play God like Santa. He is merciful and gracious, but he's not Saint Nick. He's God. And the Bible says Israel's the target. And now we're hearing today, Israel's the target. Israel's the target. Make no mistake about it. I'm not making this up. You could research this yourself. Out of the Arab Spring movement that came out of the politics of 2009. Some of you are getting my drift. The Arab Spring that was born, which CNN and Fox and all the lemmings jumped onto immediately and proclaimed democracy in the Middle East. If it could only come that easy. And we all knew, I forget the date. I had it in my notes. It was in February 2011. I stood right here with you on a Sunday morning, and we went through a sermon. You can look at it, listen to it online or watch it online. It was just a few days after the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. I said from this pulpit, this is not democracy. Don't listen to CNN and Fox. This is none other than the duping of the Western world to embrace a radical change that will be worse than the despots they have now. And isn't it interesting that what's happened since is worse than Muammar Gaddafi? It's proven to be worse than Hosni Mubarak. And our administration led the charge within a few hours of these uprisings. We demanded that these world leaders step down from their countries. Did you know that? In the name of democracy. And in my little pea brain, I've ran these scenarios for myself. What if America got fed up with the way we've been watching our democracy evaporate and we demanded an Arab Spring right here? How would that go over? I guarantee you it would be crushed in a second by military powers. Because it doesn't fit the agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Israel is the target. It is to render the Middle East completely, absolutely hostile towards Israel. Why? Because Zechariah says so. all the neighboring nations will be surrounded against Brazil. Who? Israel. Canada? Nope. Israel. And today I heard two things. With all the people talking and trying to analyze what's going on. If America would stop supporting the settlements and Israel, it would be okay. Everything would be fine. And then Lisa called me today. She said she was driving somewhere and she had some radio program on. And this Muslim woman called in to the radio program. Well, I should say that she called in. She said, listen, I'm born and raised a Muslim. I've been a Muslim all my life. I recently became a Christian. I want to tell you something on your radio program. She's telling whoever it was. You can forget about all this stuff. I can tell you right now, she says, from firsthand experience, if Israel goes away, then everything will be okay. But that's not exactly true. Israel is the hated one, according to Bible prophecy, will be the most hated nation. It is the most hated nation. But it's remarkable to me that the events that we're looking at is screaming remarkable. It's screaming fantastic. It's screaming amazing. Because if you're a doubter tonight, if you don't believe in God, I want to ask you honestly, what in the world are you thinking? It's 2012. And Israel is the issue. You know it's the size of New Jersey. Jerusalem is the pinpoint. No one, listen, Jerusalem, what's with that? No one water skis there. There's no lake there. There's no river. When's the last time you landed in a 747 in Jerusalem? They ain't even got an airport there. They have great falafel. The shawarmas are amazing. They have good coffee. There's no oil there. There's no diamonds there in the hills. There's no gold in them. There's no gold in them there hills. What's with it? Why is it so important? Well, think about that. Here we are tonight talking about it. The world is talking about it. It's the big issue. The Bible says in the last days it's going to be the target. And we are here right now in the 21st century talking about Jerusalem. And it was the big issue last week and it ain't going to go away. And you're not a believer. I don't believe. Well, what else do you need? Come on, think. God is speaking to you. And he's using world events because they line up right with his Bible. God is speaking. The same God that is speaking this is the same God that said, if you just trust in my son Jesus, I'll forgive your sins. You say, Jack, what do you care if my sins are forgiven or not? You know, I can't tell you how many times I wish I could just say to you, you're right. I don't care. Wouldn't that be great to say? Sometimes as Christians, don't you just wish you could punch out? Hang on, I'm just going to punch out for a moment. Hey, yeah, you know what? I don't care about your soul. You can go to hell. You can just burn. Burn, burn. Ah! I don't care about your soul. See ya. Punch back in. Okay, now listen. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I mean, think about it. How in the world, how is it that we care about the souls of people we don't even know? It's my business if I burn in hell forever. Why should we care? But God puts the love of God in our hearts that we will crawl across the city on glass, on hand and knees to tell you that God loves you and he wants to forgive you. Oh, you just want my money. We don't need your money. Well, you want me to do something. We don't want you to do anything. Well, I'm just driving by. I'm just passing by. I came in here and I'm leaving. Go! Just go with Jesus, will you? Heaven is real. Eternity is where God is at. And he wants you with them. And he says himself that hell was not created for humans, but for Satan and his demonic angels. And he didn't intend any human to go there. And so when you see these world scenes and what's happening, what's going to happen? I don't know. I just know, you guys, I've been warning you, and we've had false starts, and then we get more information. But it's been a year now that we've been saying things are heating up in the Middle East. Iran's got this nuclear program. Israel's ready. Things are getting hot. And now they're announcing, Iran is announcing, it's going to be a matter of weeks, at the most a couple months. Israel will be no more. What if you say, I don't believe it? Well, what? Okay, that's another point. But what if they believe it? You see, it doesn't have to be true for you. What if it's true to them? I think that's a stupid thing for them to do. And the world needs, oh my. I was going down the freeway yesterday. Very humbling moment, quite frankly. I got passed by a hybrid Prius, which caught my attention. Which thereupon I looked at their rear bumper and saw a sticker. And it said, coexist. I proceeded to get out of my lane, transition over to the other side of the vehicle, probably the number one lane or two lane, pulled up alongside and tried to look and see through the windows. What kind of a person? And I'm driving like this going. I wanted to see one of those people. And it's coexist. You've seen it? Have you seen it? And the first letter in the coexist is the crescent moon of Islam. Who, if they had their way, would kill all the other people. They got to go. Right? It's in the doctrine. And I just thought that was just amazing. And I wanted to like pull over and say, I just stand to ask you a question. In fact, can I record this? Let me get my, can you just talk into this right now? What are you thinking? It sounds so sweet. Let's just get along. And that's wonderful. I wish everybody just got along. We all want that. Well, no, I guess we don't all want that, huh? You'd want that if you had a God who was really into peace. You would want that if you were into a God that loved. You can't wish peace into existence. There's the Prince of Peace. His name's Jesus. And so listen, we end right here. We're out of time. You're going to hear a lot about this. I'll give it to you. The official memo that came out, it's almost as though it came from the grave in a sense. The embassy is being surrounded. The militants are there. It's happening. Shots are being fired. A message is either emailed or tweeted out of the embassy. And it says that the embassy of the United States condemns the continuing efforts by misguided individuals to hurt the religious feelings of Muslims. As we condemn efforts to offend believers of all religions, today, the 11th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, terrorist attacks on the United States, Americans are honoring our patriots and those who serve our nation as the fitting response to the enemies of democracy. Respect for religious beliefs is a cornerstone of American democracy. That is true, you know. You can be any religion you want in this country. Can you be any religion in other countries? Respect for religious beliefs is a cornerstone for American democracy. We firmly reject the actions by those who abuse the universal right of free speech to hurt the religious beliefs of others. U.S. State Department, Office of the Ambassador to Libya. Listen. This was the official statement. And thank God the White House got bombed with this. I mean, just beat up about this, because in the statement, we are apologizing for that crazy guy who uploaded a video that offends Muhammad, which no matter what you upload and how it offends anybody, gives you no right to attack the sovereign territory of a nation, let alone another human being. You have no right to attack anyone because you have no capability of being tolerant. Instead, our government says, we're sorry for upsetting you. What should have been said is, you throw one rock at this building, and the United States Marine Corps will be on your nose in about 3 minutes. Because this is the only way. You and I enjoy safety and peace tonight because there are men and women all around the world that are risking their life and limb so that you can praise the Lord. And I got to tell you, someday I want to give those people a hug. Look, this is in a sense, I know there's a lot of Christians that just live in some Christian la-la land where they think all this manna, it just kind of falls from heaven. And everything is just like, you know, we can either go to Frontierland today or Fantasyland or Tomorrowland. Isn't life great? You understand, you can't go to Disneyland unless there is somebody crawling in the dirt in the middle of the night and hasn't eaten for 3 days in some other land. Do you understand that? So let's just stop being hypocrites about that. We got to stop the hypocrisy about that. We need to love even our enemies. And we need to start defending what is righteous, what is good, and what is just. Our worldview is shaped by what we put in. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means every human life is precious. And the invitation goes out to all peoples. But that invitation also defends if someone here, if Bob should pull out a dagger and go after Clyde, that same God is still just if Robert punches Bob to get his knife to save Clyde. That's called righteousness, and we've lost it as a culture. We need to get it back before it's too late. Father, we pray tonight, Lord God, in this most unusual time for us. Our hearts break tonight. We send our prayers to your throne, and we pray like a great deflector, Father God, that you would send these prayers to those that are in the embassy in Cairo right now, or those that are there in some capacity. We don't know what's transpired in the last couple of hours. Maybe they're all out. We hope they are. But Father, we just pray right now. We know that your word is your word. And the amazing thing is, while the church is still able to pray, that means that hope and revival is still possible. Prophecy is written. It will be fulfilled. But you've always reserved that glorious trump card of, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves to pray, to repent, to seek your face. Father, we ask in Jesus' name tonight that you would hear our cry, O God, that you'd forgive us of our sins, Father, as a people. And that we'd not just say and ask, forgive us, but we would turn from them in repentance. Lord, we're going to soon lay our heads down to sleep. And that side of the world will be going through its September 13th. We're asking you, Father God, that you would touch America one more time to stand with Israel, to defend Israel. We're asking you to move upon this nation. We pray that you would give us godly leadership, or at least leadership that can be moved and turned to the left or to the right, just like you did with Cyrus or Darius or Nebuchadnezzar. Wow, think of that. It's nothing right now for you. If you can change the heart of Nebuchadnezzar and he issues a global decree in Babylon that all the kingdoms and provinces of his great kingdom is to worship the God of Daniel, the God of heaven and earth. If you could take that Babylonian worshiping man and make him a believer. Lord, tonight, I think Barack Obama's in Las Vegas tonight. Maybe he's in his bedroom, I don't know. Where, it doesn't matter, wherever he's at, we pray right now that you save his soul. If you did it to Nebuchadnezzar, you could do it to him. Lord, show him a vision. Give him a dream. Appear to him. Save his soul. Who's to say? You do miracles, God. He could wake up tomorrow morning and say, wait a minute. I'm bowing my knee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To the one true living God. It could happen. Lord, bring us leadership that can be turned to the left or to the right. Not by politicians, but by you. Church, let's stand as we close in worship tonight.